Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back. Or maybe here for the first time, who knows? For another Drunken Dangerous, once again, I am reading some of the worst, mid, still being, in my experience, not that great, but hey, I'll still root for the fives in the world. That's, you know, average, right? Anyway, not here, not in creepypasta land, where we are reading Prime. Yeah, it's got a 5.14. There's a lot that have 5.14. Like, it's very specific, which feels like in order to get less than that, you have to be some level of exceptionally bad, which we've seen comes in very different strains, you know, like you can get bad where it's just written really poorly. You can get bad where the story makes no sense and the writing is halfway decent, but the story is just nonsense. It's really kind of interesting. And so now we're seeing the ones in the 5.14, which are just, again, a variety of weird. And who knows, maybe we'll find a new favorite today. Maybe they will be scary and I'll actually be like, you know what? Never mind. The votes were wrong. This one is amazing. Because it can happen with movies sometimes, right? Like, you go, you hear terrible things about a movie and you're like, okay, well, maybe my taste is absolute crap. But then again, you're here. So no. I'm not saying your taste is fantastic is what I'm saying. And the first story we're reading today is called Prime, once again, in the 5.14. It is 4 minutes of reading. No, 3 minutes for me. That's way longer than that it will take, I'm guessing. Prime. I love creepypastas. That's how it starts, you know. And chances are that if you are reading this, so do you. I don't know if I love them. I have a lot of feelings. I'm happy to be here, though, I'll say. And it's not just all of the pot. I've been into them for about a year now, and like most, the community enjoy the sudden jolt a well-cooked piece of pasta can provide. Oh God, that's cringy. The way a perception can be built up in a mere couple of sentences. A perception, the perception of what, I wonder, then be violently smashed down. Oh no, my perception! I was building that up, all sentences. I've appreciated all the classics from No End House and Candle Cove to the Secrets of the Holder series. I heard about a group of guys recently that kept talking about wanting to take their pasta to the next level. They were chefs, you fool. The kind of story that changes you as a person, gives you a new outlook on life. I mean, it's kind of, write a self-help book, I guess. I don't know, or you'd be like, damn, that story where that guy cut that other guy's face off really taught me to love life, view things differently, to live, to laugh, to love, to cut faces off. They posted on a forum, and the impression I got from lurking at the time was that they were building this story fragment by fragment, a mishmash of text that was being amalgamated as much in the public eye as it was via personal message. Huh? I mean, is it because they're talking about it publicly as much as they are? And, yeah, whatever. I do know that it was eventually finished and that a grand unveiling was planned at midnight on the forum for atmospheric effect. This caused some minor grumbling as they all lived in different time zones. I feel like I'm listening to somebody's internet drama and I'm not spooked yet. I feel like next you're going to tell me that like you got a DM and one of them was a jerk to you. And so then you went to your other friends and then you both DM back. And then they found out that they told that friend that you'd been talking bad. And then you just had a whole fight. And then it's like, this just goes to show you, even good guys can be villains, the end or something. That's just kind of how it reads to me in this moment. I'm headcanoning this whole thing, which I'm sure it's not. No offense to the author. I'm sure this will end up spooky. But GMT was eventually agreed upon. Many waited with bated breath for this alleged perfect pasta that had grown from the minds of many, yet were disappointed when there was no sign of activity from any of the original creative group. Yeah, their story was so scary, I bet it killed them. A couple of days later, one of them signed onto the message board and left a brief message. The username is Slenderman Rules with a Z, 89. And he wrote UJ3DRJJDE498BLI404ND8540J. It sounds like he was just jamming his fingers on the keyboard to me. It's all, you know, no spaces, all one line. I'm just saying. You know exactly what we were thinking at that point. Publicity stunt. Publicity for who? The losers that, I'm sorry, I mean, the people that are sitting with bated breath waiting for somebody's amalgamation story of public and private messages. Look, publicity from whom? Like Time Magazine's going to be covering this? The New York Times reporting? Publicity stunt. You say you're going to release it and then you know what? I used to do that. I'm like, you guys, the crossover is finally here. And then I don't release it and I just post a line of like bashing text. People are like, yeah, okay. She clearly just didn't do it again. Fuck it. But fucking publicity stunt. That's what we continued to say to ourselves over the coming weeks as more and more messages started to pile up from all the authors. Most of them were nonsensical, a couple downright disturbing. Here's the next message. It's from a user whose name is Creepy Boy, B-O-I, 97. No space. It's all one rambling. Dazzling, 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 dazz. And then from Azrael's Blade, you have, it's like he's trying to say stomach. That's like, or no, it's too much. Okay, it's too much, but it's a bunch of T's and O's and a bunch of M's and U's and C's and H's. And then someone named the Goth Father. I like that pun, but fuck you. It took a little while. They're all misspelled, but I got them out. They taste like jelly. Are you talking about your eyes or something? Well, yeah, they probably don't taste like good jelly. Like, what kind of jelly are you eating that tastes like the inside of eyeballs? Because I want to avoid that. At this point, we started to get a little worried. Really, you didn't think even more that it was a fucking publicity stunt? I would be like, okay, this is just getting stupid. Like, you and all your friends decided to pretend that you were, like, possessed or something. Like, if you weren't going to write the story, just don't write it instead of that. That's, like, so lazy. But now they're like, oh, no, maybe when he wrote dazzling over and over, it was a sign like he was asking for help. Weeks had passed since the supposed release date, and there was no sign other than these repeated postings of the forum, so we started to investigate further. Initial findings showed that the group had shared the story among themselves prior to the release, a couple of them bragging of the fact on various other forums. More details came to light showing that one of them, Rat M. Fanatic, had been the final editor stitching all of the text together, then sending it out to all of them. Research of his Facebook showed one status not long after. Quote, I can't focus anymore. My mind keeps being drawn back to it. I can see where I stand, and it terrifies me. See, I told you, the story killed him. It was so spooky, it spooked him to death. All of the others showed had followed suit and slowly but surely described a gradual descent into depression, mania, and ramblings of finally understanding. At this point, all sorts of theories were flying around, all fixated on this story. We scoured the news reports and found that over the course of time, we were able to tie the missing persons reports up to all the forum members from throughout the world. Did you know what they looked like? How would you know? How do you, oh wow, we searched missing people reports from around the world and we found all of them, literally all of them. We found them, you guys. I mean, did they hack the internet? How'd they do it? Accounts were investigated, showed that the homes they had left behind had been trashed. This is a lot you found out about random forum members. Their computers had all been destroyed, as if there had been some shared belief that burning or smashing the source of their fear would somehow alleviate it. Yeah, that's why I burned the house down. I was afraid I was going to miss a payment on the mortgage. There was no mention of the pasta, but to be honest, we wouldn't have expected that. I would have been... And guys, they were all writing a creepypasta together, like, do you think it's a problem? Text yes or no to the following police number. To this day, we don't know where they are. And you would believe that would be where the story would end, were it not for one final postscript. A message was found from the user Voltrinator. Yeah, I just got it in my inbox, but I haven't read it yet. Don't tell anyone, but I'm gonna fire a couple of copies to some friends. They've been begging me for this, and I do owe them one from way back. They're gonna be stoked. No one knows who he was referring to, and nothing has been heard of since. Who knows? Maybe it's still out there, floating on some dead site that gets like a hit a year. It's my YouTube channel. No one knows the title, so your guess is as good as mine. The only thing I will say you is be careful out there. Next time you stumble across some pasta you've never tried before. Yeah. So many new pastas. Have you ever had bow tie? It's like a little bow tie. Just ... I don't know. I mean, how would you even know until it's too late? What's a terrible ending? Like, no, guys, don't do it. Or do. There's really no way to, like, stop it. Thanks for nothing. Next story is called The Doorway. It's got a 5.14 out of 10. 1 minute, less than 1 minute. There is a doorway, one that can be any door at any time. This door leads nowhere, yet there lies a realm of twisted reality to the opener. This door exists for everyone. Some never encounter it in their lives. Then does it even fucking exist for me? It's just randomly there somewhere in the world. Like, where's Waldo? Where's Door? Oh. Others unknowingly open it and step through. The problem is you can't tell if the door is open to you. Huh? Until years after you step through it? What? You'll see them and they'll finally see you. What? You won't know if the door was open until years after you already stepped through the open door. Okay. And finally, an unknown stranger. Well, they are a stranger, wouldn't they be? It's 11 minutes of reading, it's 5.15. We've gone up. 11 minutes. No, now it's only 8. The fact that it changes, if you scroll a couple inches, it's very strange to me. Teaching had always been my dream job. Ever since I was little, I wanted a career teaching kids the same way my teachers taught me. Though to be honest, I think it's just because the ones I had were so great. Never had a bad one during my time in school. That is amazing. We did not go to the same school districts. So fast forward to a few years later, a graduated college with a degree in teaching. Wow, good job for that college. I couldn't believe it. My dream was finally realized. I immediately began applying to any and all schools in my area. All of them? That's kind of sad. You're not even going to research the ones you apply to. You're like, yeah, I'm going to abandoned lot school where I'm teaching in the windowless van. All right. As luck would have it, I ended up working at the school I was taught at as a kid. Oh, look, you can be the shitty teacher that you never had. This was an elementary school, and I got to teach the fifth graders, which was my favorite year of school, so that only added to my excitement. You're not a child again. You have to teach those little shits. I mean, I'm just saying, you're not a fucking kid. You're not going to get to go outside and have recess and shit. I don't know. I say this because there was no set subject in class. I taught everything. No set subject? I'm starting to think he is teaching in that van. Well, no wonder you liked school. Apparently, it didn't matter what you were taught. And things got off to a pretty decent start. For the first few years, I didn't have much issue with the job. Sure, there was a bad kid or two, but other than that, things ran smoothly. That is, until I met one student. It was you! Now, for privacy reasons, I'm not going to use this kid's actual name. I'll refer to him as Alex. Yeah, any Alexes listening, you're all no good. Oh, wait. I mean, I guess he disagrees. Now, Alex wasn't a bad kid or anything. Then why are you bringing him up, pal? It's not like I have a problem with it or anything, but you fucking stink. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I really believe that. He was actually quiet, polite, kept to himself, and always spent his recess reading. Well, then what's the problem? So he was a favorite of mine, but he had his issues. He shitting himself. One being that he wasn't that great at math. Well, how dare he? In fact, he told me it was kind of his worst subject. From my interactions with him after this, he said that he still struggles with it. I felt bad because he excelled at everything else. Science, reading, history. He was great at all that. Well, science usually requires some math, but whatever. But for whatever reason, math just didn't click with Alex. I talked with his parents about this, and they said it was always an issue for him, even in his first few years of school. He got better with each grade, but there were still struggles. And his test scores, unfortunately, reflected this. Out of options, I suggested an after-school tutoring program that I and a few other teachers were running. His parents agreed and enrolled him in it with a few other students. It was an after-school thing, so all those involved had to stay later than normal. Isn't he teaching fifth grade? Like, it feels really weird that they're this, like, upset that he's struggling. Like, he's getting better every grade. Why do you have to freak out about it? It wasn't a big deal for me because my home was in walking distance. Plus, I really wanted to help these kids out, so I stayed for as long as I needed to. The tutoring session ran a bit later than I was expecting. This was also in the winter time, so it was getting dark earlier than usual. But this wasn't a one-day thing. It'd last throughout the school week. So when the sun began to set, we decided to call it a day. Like I said, my home was in walking distance, so I could literally just pack up my things and walk home in about 10 minutes. And so I did just that. I walked home from the school while everyone else drove home while the parents picked up their kids. But I noticed that Alex hadn't gone home by the time I left. I bet he's getting beaten for his bad math scores, because if you're fucking up in fifth grade, you'll be a fuck-up forever. I asked him about this, and he said he was preparing to leave. He said his home was close to the school, so he could walk there himself. I was a bit concerned that a fifth grader would be walking home by himself for obvious reasons. Pedophiles everywhere, the streets cornered with them, littered with them. Jeffrey Epstein on every corner. I offered to walk him home, but he declined. Well, yeah, he was afraid. I insisted until he pointed out the house to me. It was even closer than mine. In fact, it was right next door to the school. He's like, oh, okay. Surprised by this, I let him go on his way, but I kept an eye on him. When I was sure he was home safe, I walked to my place. It was getting dark, so I had to book it there since I didn't bring a flashlight with me. Why are the streets so dark? It's like that close to school? I honestly didn't think I'd need it, but I bring it with me nowadays. He lives in a very strange location. He needs light or he can't make it back. So since it was around 5, I began making supper. Wait, it was around 5 and you had to run home? How early does it get dark there? It's maybe he's just parent, like he's so afraid of the dark. It gets dark at like 8 p.m., but he's so afraid he starts running home at 4. He's like, what if I tripped and fell and like really hurt myself and it took me hours to get home? It could be dark and then I'd never find my way home. Why aren't there lights on your street, dude? Even in the houses, they don't have any driveway lights on. Like, he said it's 10 minutes away. That's like really close. So since it was around 5, I began making supper because I'm fucking 80. I'm sorry. A lot of people eat dinner earlier than I do. Which was a bowl of ramen noodles and a cold glass of wine. You know, like they do in Japan. I settled in with a good book and the local news. Well, I tried to. I kept hearing noises all around the house. I assumed it was just the animals outside since I didn't have any pets. You hear noises all around, you're like, oh, it's a whole barnyard full of animals again. That or it was just the house making noises. Animal noises? It was old, so it was to be expected. You know, your house gets over like 30, it starts barking at you. I began dinner when I heard a knock at the door. He's like, the animals? Confused. See, he was. I got up and answered my door. To my surprise, it was Alex's mother, who I'll call Sydney. I just think of Sydney Prescott from the Scream series. I asked her why she was there. Sydney explained that they were out walking their dog, who wasn't with her at the time. Neither was Alex, for that matter. She said that they returned home with it after finishing the walk. As for why she was there, well, this is when things got bad. Real bad. Apparently, they walked by my house during the walk with their dog. While doing so, she said they saw movement in my house. They assumed it was me until they saw me in the kitchen making dinner. Worried, I asked if they were just seeing things. You'd be like, yep, that's why I came by. Just want to tell you I'm having my nighttime hallucinations again. Please help me. Sydney swore that her and Alex saw someone else in the home. I said that I lived alone, since I didn't have a roommate and I wasn't married at the time. Apparently no one will date them. They're repulsive. So that meant only one thing. Someone broke into my house. I think the reason he's alone is he's like really combative when this woman's trying to help him. He's like, oh, are you sure you're not fucking seeing things? Dumb bitch, wasting my time. She's like, fine. I was going to tell you he had a shotgun, but whatever, I guess. He's like, you're seeing things again. I was unnerved by that thought since I didn't hear any signs of a break-in. You said you heard a fuck ton of sounds. Like 2 seconds ago. I turned to my house to call the police. You turned to your house to call the police. And that's when I saw it. I saw a person moving by the window of my living room. In a panic, I told Sydney to run. We bolted out of there as quickly as we could. It was probably the fastest I've ever run in my entire life because I'm very unathletic. And I don't think I've ever ran as fast since. I ran to their home and they allowed me to call the police. During the wait for them to arrive, I talked with Alex and his mother about the situation and if they saw anyone else. After all, they were the ones who saw that person. But it was Alex that answered the question, not his mother. He said he didn't see anyone else. As it turns out, he practically begged Sydney to let him go with her, but she didn't allow it for obvious reasons. I asked him why he wanted to, and he said it was because I was his favorite teacher, and he didn't want a bad person to hurt me. It was a sweat gesture. I like that. He was sweating. but I'm glad he wasn't there with her. I also like that he totally used that to humble brag about what a great teacher he is. I don't advise any parent to let their kid go with them in these situations, no matter how much they beg them. Oh, really? Thanks, Captain Obvious. To this day, I'm glad Sydney didn't allow Alex to join her, even if he wanted to help. Why do you keep harping on this? Yeah, me too. The guy also didn't, like, attack her or anything, so it's not, like, that big a fucking deal. A few minutes later, the police arrived. They drove me back to my home after Alex and Sydney explained the situation to them. At my house, I waited outside as they investigated the home. But when they got back, they couldn't find any evidence of a break-in. In fact, they couldn't find any trace that anyone had been in the home but me. I wanted them to then be like, "Are you sure you weren't seeing things, sir?" Just so he knows how it feels. I kept thinking that couldn't be right. They had three witnesses to someone else being in my house and couldn't find a single piece of evidence. Needless to say, I didn't go home that night. I didn't feel comfortable sleeping there. I rented a hotel room for the night. It was far from the school, but I didn't care. I could take a bus if need be. I was not staying in that house until something was found out. But what if he saw you guys run away and then he ran out of fear? You're just never going back to your house if the guy just doesn't return. You're like, I'm never return. It's like, you know what it reminds me of? It's like a advanced version of like, there's a spider in your room and you try to kill it and it runs away under your bed. And you're like, oh my God, I'm never sleeping in this room again. The spider could get me. It's like that. But lack of evidence pretty much confirmed to me that I'd never get answers. I had to move in with a friend of mine until we could find me a better home. Wow, he's up and selling it. One that had decent security, be it better locks, cameras, or a security system. You could put that in your old house. I hope you put in the listing that you're selling it because somebody broke in one day, but the cops never found them. My old home had none of that. Well, you could have fucking fixed it, couldn't you? After months of searching, we found one that was far from that place. Oh, months. I'm sure your friend loved that. It was far from the school, too, but that didn't matter. Yeah, I'm sure your friend will drive you. I was far from that place, and I never had to go back. I don't know if anyone ever bought it, and I haven't bothered to even look. What? You don't care, liar. You're a teacher. You're a fucking teacher in a public school, and you don't care if you sold your house, the house you were living in. I do not fucking believe you for one goddamn second. Fucking you, I can suspend my disbelief only so far, okay? He doesn't have a car. He has to take the bus or walk everywhere, and he doesn't care that about the house that he abandoned. Did he never even get his stuff? Is it like fully furnished and all of his shit is in there? And he's like, no, there could be a crazy man in there. I refuse to go in that cursed house with no locks, no security. Like, how could someone break in when there's like no fucking security locks on my house? I can't imagine. Like, he's like, if it had better locks. So how shitty are your locks? Are they bad enough that they could just pick them so there wouldn't be evidence of a break-in? Because that is totally doable if you have a shitty lock, which a lot of people do. Not that I would know. He wants nothing to do. He didn't even care if it sold. Well, you better be fucking independently wealthy is all I'm saying. Because houses are expensive, okay? Even ones in neighborhoods where you're broken into, I guess, and it's terrifying. I now have a new home with security system, cameras, and automated locks. I even got a guard dog, a Rottweiler named Bishop. I'm much happier now that I don't have to worry about this. None of my neighbors report anything to me, and the cameras don't pick much up. They're interior cameras, so I doubt they would anyways, unless it's me or Bishop. I'm working on installing exterior cameras to keep an eye on thing outside my home. But even though I'm living a better life, I still can't get over that night. So many questions are still left unanswered. Who did I see? Why didn't the police find any traces of them? Again, they ran away when they heard you yell run. Why did they break into my home? Why didn't they take anything? These questions lingered in my mind. They were taking a shit in the upper part of your toilet, the upper decker. That's what they were doing. They broke in. But when you don't get straightforward answers, those questions stick with you. Then I remember the sounds I heard earlier during dinner. It took you that fucking long. I realize now that I heard them breaking in without realizing it. That thought alone just scares me to my core and why I'm so protective of my home now. But that still doesn't explain the lack of evidence of a break-in. No broken windows, no footprints, nothing. You had shitty locks and doors can be picked, you stupid motherfucker. Nothing was even taken. The irrational part of me began to speculate that it may have been something paranormal or supernatural. Stop. If no physical evidence could be found, maybe that was because there wasn't any to begin with. Yeah, it was a ghost because nobody uses gloves and there's nothing you can put over your shoes. It's impossible. There's always evidence. If there's no evidence, there's no crime, right? Maybe whoever or whatever was seen that night wasn't of this world. Yeah, maybe it was a flying pig that was doing it. But the rational part of me blocked all of that out. Good, it should. I do believe in spirits, but I don't believe in haunted houses or anything like that. Then why'd you run away like a little bitch? I was raised to believe that spirits don't haunt homes, and if your home is haunted by something, it's most likely another person trying to scare you. I still hold that belief to this day, so that's why I wasn't quick to assume I was being haunted. I just thought it was someone pulling a prank or someone trying to scare me away to steal something in the house. But nothing was taken, so I guess they found nothing of value and moved on. Well, then why did you fucking abandon your home and apparently it's still there? If you didn't care to sell it, it's still fucking there. Are you making payments? Did you own it outright? Did the bank repossess it? So I suppose that whatever happened that night will remain unsolved. The police never contacted me about anything else. I guess they gave up the investigation. Yeah, the investigation of, you said you saw something and then we saw nothing, so we were like, okay, well, tell us if you see anything. There was nothing. But they'll likely reopen the case if something found there. I just hope that something is, because I need to know what went on that night. Just make something up so I'll stop bothering you. I try to forget about it, but I just can't. No one can forget something like that. It's called therapy. It's especially difficult to forget when you can't explain it rationally. The only explanation you have is irrational. Just because you can't explain it rationally does not mean there is not a rational explanation, and too many people don't understand this. Not that I'm bothered, that would be irrational. But because I value my sleep and my sanity, I just pretend that whoever I saw was really good at covering their tracks. That explanation helps me sleep better at night, even if it doesn't make sense. Yes, a ghost spirit makes a lot more sense than a human that's good at covering their tracks. You solved the mystery. It wasn't old Mr. Johnson the whole time, it was a ghost, Scooby. There are a lot of good burglars in this world, but none that could hide their tracks as good as this one apparently did. Or maybe there is. And I just so happened to see them. Then why are you saying shit if you're going to immediately refute it yourself? Stop thinking out loud, you dumb shit. If they wanted to scare me to get me away from the house so they could steal something, they succeeded, even if they ended up stealing nothing. Whatever the case, I'm happy to be living in my new home and away from whatever was going on in my old one. You're like one of those people that's obsessed with their ex and they insist how happy they are without them, but they won't shut the fuck up at all times. It's like this guy. I don't really care, but what was he doing? But I don't care. But like, it has no like answer, except it does. But it doesn't. But does it? Like, just stop. Enjoy the house you have then. Or ideally, sell your old one. Let's say, I still think about it a lot. Yeah, I know. Especially knowing that this person was never caught, to my knowledge. Without evidence, it's kind of difficult to make an arrest. He could be a police officer. I just hope that whenever this person, if it is a person, is caught, they're put in jail and not allowed to walk free. If it's not a person, how are you keeping them in jail? So many questions. If it's not a person and my irrational theory is true, then I feel sorry for whoever lives in that house now. And I do hope they find the proper help if it is paranormal. So you sold it or not? Because it was your house, right? Let's see. Oh, it's still going. Maybe I should have considered it, but I didn't because of my own beliefs. I still don't believe in haunted houses, even with this experience. If more proof of it being truly paranormal is brought forward, then I'll believe I was being haunted rather than someone pulling an elaborate prank. Is this supposed to be scary? I feel like this is a guy talking about his real world experience and just like giving us his random rambling thoughts about it. But none of this is scary. It's just him being like, whoa, wasn't it crazy? Maybe it was a ghost or something. But it could not be. But it could be. Like, this is none of this is scary. And if he just thought it was like, I would believe I was being haunted rather than someone trying to pull an elaborate prank. Why would you think it was a prank either? Or trying to scare me to get me away from the house, they could steal something. Even though I believe in spirits, I don't believe that they haunt people. Never have believed that and likely never will. Thank you for continuing to repeat this. Until then, I'm just going to go with my rational line of thinking and just believe it was a burglar with skills that haven't been seen before by you or some sadistic prankster. And if they're out there, I just hope they're caught and arrested, preferably sooner rather than later. Now I need to go check my cameras. They've been making noise all day, and I think they've caught something inside the home. But that's odd, since they're only supposed to sense movement. They're not supposed to sense stuff in my house unless someone or something is moving in there. And I've been away all day at work while Bishop has been outside in the yard. The end. Wow, that was, you know, I think he probably just set up the security cameras wrong, knowing this guy. You know, he's like, oh my God, it was spirits. It's like, no, you just fucked it up. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure it was spirits. It was spirits, you guys. And then also he was like, you know, the only rational thing is paranormal because no human could be this way. And then he's like, my irrational beliefs of the paranormal. Fucking make up your goddamn mind. Well, anyway, speaking of irrational, hopefully you'll join me next time to suffer, to really suffer and have a good time. And then for the live where we'll all suffer together and you can choose specific topics to make me particularly in pain. There's been a couple. So anyway, hopefully you'll be a little masochistic and join me then. And yeah, until then, I will talk to you later. Mwah! Bye, guys.